out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 1st of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast I prepared for you last week while I was away. I had a good week away, catching up with other nationalist friends, but I'm back now, back here in the studio, and I'll be back with the Daily Nationalist this week. Last week we did a series on John H. Van Every, the world's first white nationalist. If any of you haven't actually checked that out, I do recommend that you do. He's a very interesting character, but this week we will be getting back to the news and current affairs that we normally cover here at the Daily Nationalist. Well, recently a large story has been going on over there in America with Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump's pick for, I think he's one of the justices, one of the chief justices, an important judge, basically, an important part of the legal side of things, which has been putting a stop on Donald Trump's policies over there. And I think most of us would have seen last week this woman that's made this accusation against him that he apparently groped her or did something to her. He didn't rape her. No physical penetration actually took place. And she's making these accusations, and it just seems so obvious to me that what she was saying was fake. It was false. Trying to say how this has wrecked her life for the last 30 years, it's absolute nonsense. This happened in school. This happened in high school. I mean, all sorts of things go on in secondary school. You're not actually fully an adult by that stage. You've been in the same class with these girls for years. You've been friends with them for years. And a lot of playing about, a lot of horseplay goes on. It's not sexual assault. It's just horseplay among adolescents. And I don't actually really think that this, you know, what this woman is saying is true. I think she's just saying this because she doesn't want him to get to the position that Donald Trump wants him to be in. That's what it boils down to. What it shows us is that the left will stoop to anything in order to get their way. And I think this ties in with the left-hand path. It's, they will lie, they will cheat, they will deceive, and they think it's perfectly justified because they think that what they will get at the end of it will justify anything, literally any behavior. It's this means, or the end justifies the means. That's the way that they're looking at things. This is the excuse that they use for punching Richard Spencer in the face. The end will justify the means. If we can intimidate the nationalists into being silent, then we've won. And it doesn't matter what we do to do that. And in a lot of cases, they will even try to kill people in order to silence them. And they think that they are actually in the right doing this. Whereas if you're a nationalist, in particular a national socialist, then you understand that the end does not justify the means. The means are an end in themselves. Doing the right thing is an end in itself. You realize that, I guess this is more of a Christian way as well. You realize that you're being tested all the time. The world is a struggle. It's a struggle of virtue against vice. And we have this struggle, we have these choices put in front of us all the time, whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And the left think that it doesn't matter. They can do as many wrong things as they like, just so long as they get the right thing at the end. And that's what has caused the world to be in such a state that it's in today. We should always be on the side of virtue. We should always be trying to do the right thing. Even if we don't get the end that we wanted, the very fact that we did the right thing on the way to getting there means that we've succeeded in something else. You've succeeded anyway. Adolf Hitler succeeded. He won that war because he never gave in. And they were never able to actually capture him at the end of the war. He did the right thing. He shot himself. He did what the captain of any army should do, what the captain of any ship should do. He should go down with his ship if there are still men on board. Because that's the right thing to do. The end does not justify the means. The means and the end are both the same in itself. The means are an end in themselves. When people talk about it's not the destination that you get to, it's the journey, getting to that destination, that is all important. This is the difference between right and left, I think. I do think that the left wing of politics has a lot to do with the left-hand path in esotericism. But anyway, that's gone off at a little bit of a tangent there. The reason why I brought this up is because this has all now had a stop put to it, and the FBI are now going to investigate this accusation once again. We did think it was all over and done with last week. There was going to be a vote, and that would be it. Either Brett Kavanaugh would win or he would lose. But one politician decided that he was going to do something different. And this was a guy called Jeff Flake. And apparently he was accosted in an elevator by these protesters that were saying all about Me Too and all about sexism and how men get away with doing all these terrible things to women. And he basically fell for their ruse. And it actually turns out that one of the women who confronted this Jeff Flake on the elevator at the Capitol after he said he was voting for Brett Kavanaugh, she is the co-executive director for the Center for Popular Democracy and the Center for Popular Democracy Action Fund, both of which are heavily funded by George Soros. So it's George Soros that has actually put a stop to this process over there in America. And we could also identify somebody called Maria Gallagher as the other woman that was confronting Flake. And she's also a part of the Center for Popular Democracy. George Soros is one of the largest funders to the CPD. Soros provided the CPD with $130,000. from the Foundation to Promote Open Society in 2014, and $1,164,500 in 2015. Soros also provided an additional $705,000 from the Open Society Policy Center in 2016. We actually have the three biggest funders of the CPD, according to a 2014 document, and the Open Society Foundation ranks third. The CPD's three biggest funders are the WIS Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and then in third place, the Open Society Foundation. So this wasn't a grassroots protest. This wasn't somebody who has been affected by sexism that confronted this Jeff Flake. This was a representative of George Soros. And he has succeeded in getting this put back by another week. And he succeeded in having this investigated by the FBI. This is the way that politics work. None of this Me Too movement is a grassroots movement. It's all being funded by the very people that are responsible for the destruction of our world, the globalization, the destruction of our morals. The very people that are most likely to be abusing women, they're the ones that are actually funding this. The Harvey Weinbergers of the world, they're the ones that are encouraging all of this, bizarrely enough. And this Brett Kavanaugh, he really looks like he's had his life ruined by this. It does seem to be that this is the tack that the left are taking now, is just coming out with these attacks saying that somebody said something rude to women. It's like this nonsense about Donald Trump being a misogynist just because he said, well, if you're rich and famous, women throw themselves at you and you can do whatever you like with them. That's a factual statement there. Rich and famous people can have their pick of whatever woman they like. You only have to look at these rich men and look at the wives that they have. They always have beautiful wives. I mean, they could be terrible looking, terrible people. But because they've got lots of money, they're going to get a good looking wife. That's just the way that nature works. You know, men are guided by our testosterone. So, and women only have a very, very small percentage of testosterone. And they misuse the effect that they actually have on men. They misuse it all the time in order to manipulate us. They hijack our emotions and use our feelings to get what they want. And now what they're doing is having a tantrum and a hissy fit over that fact. Whereas if they didn't have that, what else would they have? What would women have if they didn't have the attraction that men hold for them? They wouldn't have a lot because they only have 2/3 of our body strength. They don't actually have the intellectual capacities that we have. If it wasn't for the fact that we find them attractive, very attractive, they really wouldn't be of very much use to us. There is the fact that they produce babies, but they don't even want to do that anymore. And now, because of this attractiveness that we have for them, they now want to complain about that and complain about the odd times when that attractiveness manipulates a man into doing something that he's later going to regret. And if this Brett Kavanaugh was actually guilty of this, I'm sure he regrets it now. I mean, the guy was a teenager when this went on. Anyway, let's move on to another news story that I've got here for you. This one actually comes from Germany. The German government ministry responsible for processing refugees and asylum seekers referred over 10,000 cases of suspicious migrants to the security services in 2017, which is a significant rise on the previous year. The latest whole year figures for the number of reports of migrants suspected of being an endangerment to the national security situation or preparing to use force was 10,597 in 2017, a fourfold rise compared to the 2,418 in 2016. This itself was already a significant rise from 2015, when there were just 571. So in 2 years, they've gone from 571 people in Germany that were likely to carry out a terrorist attack to 10,597 in 2017. That is a huge rise. That's 20 times the number. 20 times as many potential terrorists in 2017 in Germany than there were in 2015. Every single one of those terrorists was imported into that country from abroad. Just think of the cost. Think of the physical cost in damage to people if they actually carry out their terrorist attacks, and think of the physical costs in monitoring these people. And what are they actually doing in Germany? Well, they're just claiming benefits, aren't they? They're not working. They're refugees. They've come to the country saying that they're being persecuted in the countries that they've come from, and in actual fact, they're terrorists. And instead of deporting them, the German authorities are just watching them. They're investigating them. And look at that increase, 20 times as many. This is quite clearly due to Mama Merkel inviting them all in, opening up the borders and inviting everyone throughout the third world to come to Germany a couple of years back. This is all due to the so-called migrant crisis. In the 2018 year up to August, there were 4,979 reports made to the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution by the Federal Office for Migration and Refugees. The figures, reported by Germany's Welt newspaper, came to light after a request for information was made to the federal government by the centrist Free Democratic Party. Responding to the figures, a government spokesman told the paper, "Since October 2016, a large number of reports have been received, the majority of which are still under investigation." So they haven't been deported. They haven't actually managed to work out what's actually going on here. They're still investigating them, which is going to cost an absolute fortune. Despite the definite 2017 figure of 10,597, it is not clear how many migrants this relates to, as each individual may have theoretically been reported to the security services more than once. There are also no statistics accompanying these which tell how many of the reports were found to have merit and how many were unfounded. It looks like these reports have just been put in. They've just said, well, we think this guy might be a terrorist. And that's it. It has just been left open-ended. This is why whenever these terrorist attacks occur, they say, well, this person was on the radar. This person was being watched by the police because somebody put a report in about this, but they don't actually have the manpower to investigate it. 10,000 cases. How are they going to have the manpower to watch 10,000 Muslims every minute of the day to make sure that they're not planning on setting a nail bomb off or setting a suicide bomb off or grabbing an axe and chopping people up on a train? And don't forget, some of these people are going to be claiming to be children as well. They will have been placed with adoptive families where they are likely to cause a lot of damage. I don't forget this bomb that went off in a British train last year. That was somebody that had actually been placed with an adoptive family, and he repaid that family back by sending off a bomb on a train. We also had somebody that actually came into Britain and said, I've been out there training with ISIS, I hate the British, I'm a jihadi, and I want to kill the British. And they just let him in. They just let him in and put him with an adoptive family. So these reports are being sent in that we have a national security situation, we have these people that need to be watched, and the security services are just doing nothing about it. This lack of supplementary information is a problem, said senior FDP MP Stefan Tomei, who told the paper, the federal government has to investigate the question of whether there is something behind the increased figures. How can you not think there is something behind the increased figures of potential terrorists in Germany when it goes from 500 to 10,000 within 2 years? Of course there's something behind it. What there is behind it is the increase of Muslims into the country, the increase of refugees into the country. That's what's behind the increased figures. The FDP MP, Stefan Tomei, continues, if the BFV does not even have a statistic about which tip-offs prove to be justified or baseless, the question arises whether the incoming clues are even processed or just floating around. Well, it looks like they're just floating around, really, doesn't it? The data comes after the revelation in August that 54% of terror plots in Germany since 2014 have involved asylum seekers. In 2016 alone, 60% of terrorist plots in Germany, either planned or realised, were conducted or planned by Syrian trained militias. Now, every one of those terror plots would not have happened if you hadn't allowed non-whites into Germany. All of this has been caused by the traitorous politicians that opened up the borders. You got 10,000 of them. In 2017, 10,000 reports of people that are planning on terrorist activities, planning on carrying them out in Germany, and they're wondering what it is that's caused this. Well, it's this importation of non-whites into the country. This is why France has the highest amount of Muslim terrorism out of all the countries in Europe, because they have the highest amount of Muslims in France. The more Muslims you have in a country, the more the risk of terrorism and grooming gangs and all the other sick things that these people bring into our countries, the more risk there is of them happening. They don't happen in Japan. They don't happen in places that don't have any Muslims. They don't have threats to national security from Islam. Only countries that import Islam have these threats. It's just common sense. And to think that 60% of the plots are being carried out by Syrian trained militias, when it was specifically Syria that Merkel invited into Germany, they're really not very grateful to her, are they? And just about every Tom, Dick and Harry that was coming in from Africa was then claiming to be Syrian because they knew that they would get special treatment for the Syrians and the Syrians have returned the favour of this special treatment by masterminding 60% of the terrorist plots in Germany. And still they haven't learned, still the Germans haven't learned and deported them all. That's how you're going to stop this. If they want to stop that 10,000 security risks turning into 20,000 security risks in 2018, they need to deport them all. It's a very simple solution to the problem. A child could tell you how to sort the problem out, yet they just refuse to do it. They refuse to go along with it. And the reason why they refuse to go along with it is because the whole point of all of this is to replace all the white people with brown people. They can put up with a little bit of terrorism here and there because they think that within 30 or 40 years, everyone's going to be brown and there won't be any differences between everyone anymore and we'll all live happily ever after. That's their plan. They want us to miscegenate so that we are brown, so that we no longer have any countries, we no longer have any races, we no longer have any nations. Then there'll be no more racism, there'll be no more wars, and we'll all live in a happy utopia. That is where they think this is all going to end up. If it ends up like that, then the world will just descend into the chaos of Africa. It will just descend into a bloodbath. In fact, it will be a bloodbath before then, when the few whites that are left realise what's been going on. There will be out-and-out war on the streets, if they haven't just been killed anyway by the disgruntled blacks and non-whites. Once they get to a certain percentage, once they get to the majority, they're just going to slaughter the white people. That's what always happens. That's what happened in Haiti. There are places in Africa where that happened. This is what will happen once blacks and non-whites get into the majority. You think it's bad now with 20% Muslims in a country? Think what it's like when it's 40%. It's certainly not going to bring peace. And to think that the white race is worthless and can just be destroyed like that to get rid of racism is a terrible thing to think. They, on the one hand, they say, well, races don't exist, so it's perfectly fine to all blend out like that. And yet, on the other hand, they are thinking that the world is still going to be able to maintain a standard of civilization when everybody's brown. It's impossible. You can't have the two. You cannot have a civilization, a maintained high standard of civilization, and have it full of brown people. Just doesn't work out. It's absolutely mental. And this final news story that I've got here might explain some of this, because it turns out that liberals are actually psychopathic. A political science journal that published an often cited study claiming that conservatives were more likely to show traits associated with psychoticism now says that actually it got it wrong. Very wrong. The American Journal of Political Science published a correction this year, saying that the 2012 paper has an error, and that liberal political beliefs, not conservative ones, are actually linked to psychoticism. So for the last 6 years, this paper has been cited, saying that the right wing are all nutcases, and in actual fact it showed that liberals were all nutcases. The interpretation of the coding of the political attitude items in the descriptive and preliminary analyses portions of the manuscript was exactly reversed, the journal said, in the startling correction. The descriptive analyses report that those higher in Isink's psychoticism are more conservative, but they are actually more liberal. And where the original manuscript reports those higher in neuroticism and social desirability are more liberal, they are in fact more conservative. In the paper, psychoticism is associated with traits such as tough-mindedness, risk-taking, sensation-seeking, impulsivity, and authoritarianism. That's hedonism, isn't it? Sensation-seeking, hedonism. That's the left wing, that's the liberals, not the right wing. The social desirability scale measures people's tendency to answer questions in ways they believe would please researchers, even if it means overestimating their positive characteristics and underestimating negative ones. The erroneous report has been cited 45 times, according to Thomson Reuters Web of Science. Brad Verhulst, a Virginia Commonwealth University researcher and a co-author of the paper, said he was not sure who was to blame. Well, I would make a guess that it was someone in the left-wing media that was to blame, that thought that they would swap it around. I don't know where it happened. All I know is that it did happen, he told Retraction Watch, a blog that tracks corrections in academic papers. It's our fault for not figuring it out before. Well, how could the author of the paper not have figured this out, that this was being reported the wrong way round? And that just doesn't make sense, does it, that for the last 5 years he hasn't actually worked it out that people were reporting it the wrong way round? The journal said that the error doesn't change the main conclusions of the paper, which found that personality traits do not cause people to develop political attitudes. Well, is it the other way around then? Do political attitudes cause people to develop personality traits? Maybe it does. Maybe if you're a right-wing nationalist, then you become a lot more honest than if you're a left-wing political activist. Left-wing political activists seem to think that, as we were saying earlier, that the end justifies the means, and that it doesn't matter what you do so long as you silence the nationalists. Well, that's very dishonest and dishonourable. And yet, if you are a nationalist, if you're on the right wing, then you always try to pursue the path of virtue. And we try to give our enemies the same right to reply that we expect for ourselves. People on the right tend to treat people how they would like to be treated. And people on the left tend to treat people that are on the right as if they're not people, as if they don't deserve the same rights that they have. It's like when people accuse people on the right of being bigots and therefore they must have their speech silenced, when the most bigoted thing in the world is to say that somebody shouldn't be given a platform, shouldn't be allowed to speak. Being a bigot means you cannot tolerate hearing another person's point of view. So the left and the right do have very, very different personality traits. The left are inherently dishonest because they think it's fine to be dishonest if you've got a wholesome goal. If it helps you to reach your goal, then it's perfectly fine to be dishonest. That's the way that the left views things. Whereas I would suggest that if you are on the right, then you don't agree with being dishonest. You agree with being truthful. And speaking the facts. After all, it's the facts that the left are trying to cover up, that they're trying to hide. And it's the facts of this paper that they were trying to hide. Trying to hide the conclusion of the paper that the left wing are psychotic and not the right wing. Professor Stephen Ludicky of the University of Southern Denmark, who pointed out the errors, told Retraction Watch that they matter quite a lot. The erroneous results represented some of the larger correlations between personality and politics ever reported. They were reported and interpreted repeatedly in the wrong direction, he said. I mean, this is being deliberately done. This reminds me of a report that was done a while back into the effects of diversity. And this was the largest ever survey on diversity. And the creators of the report, the people behind the study, they were dyed-in-the-wool leftists. They were full-on progressive liberals. And they were determined that this study was going to show that diversity was wonderful, it was a great strength, etc., etc. And what they actually found out was that diversity was terrible. Diversity meant the destruction of all community spirit. When you had a lot of diversity in the neighborhood, nobody took part in any community activities anymore. People just wanted to hunker down in front of the television set. They didn't trust their neighbours. They couldn't even speak to their neighbours because they spoke a different language to them. And when this came out, when the results of this study came out, and when they saw that diversity is actually a threat to everything that we think is good, they sat on the report. They sat on the report. They said, well, we can't actually, we can't possibly show the results of this, and they sat on the report for 2 or 3 years before actually publishing it. before relenting and publishing it, because they didn't like the results. And that is the left all over. They don't like facts, so they try to cover them up. And in this instance, instead of trying to cover up the facts, they actually swapped them around and said that it was the right wing instead of the left wing. You know, this is so typical, all this deceit that is going on in the liberal intelligentsia. And I think this division between right and left is becoming more pronounced by the day. People are seeing how dishonest the left are and how honest the right are. And we have to be honest if we're right and we're nationalists. We have to be virtuous. We have to set a good example, even if it means we don't have success. It doesn't matter if we don't have success, because we did the right thing. So long as we did the right thing, we've won. That's what the game is. Vice or virtue, good or evil. It's all about trying to get us to do evil. The whole world around us is evil. Evil is now promoted as good. And we have to stand against that. And if we stand against that, then we've won. We've won that internal battle. That's what the point is. The spiritual world is far more important than the material world. And what you do in the spiritual world lasts forever. What we do in the material world only lasts for as long as we're in the material world. That's the difference. Anyway, we've reached the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. I am glad to be back. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.